Welcome to Your Next Mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Hello out there, warriors, past and present, and your families. Thank you for your service to our great country. Welcome to season 3 of Your Next Mission video podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and your host. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I say it every week, we love them too. We have an incredible show today. We're going to be focused on entrepreneurship, and I'm so excited to introduce women veteran business champion and advocate, Colonel retired Michelle Gardner Entz, U.S. Air Force, also known as Miss GI. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sergeant Major. What a delighted to some time with you and your guests.
Well, I appreciate it a great deal. Hey, I know the audience is really pumped up about hearing what Miss GI has to say, but before we do that, can you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Sure, I'd love to. Well, I've never been without an ID card for my very first breath. I was an Army brat. I'm an Air Force military spouse, and then I'm a woman veteran myself. I went 17 different schools because my mom believed in follow her man. And so, change and people and military way of life is all I've ever known. And I've spent my entire adult life serving military members and their families. So it's awesome. I just love it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, being an entrepreneur seems like a great alternative to what some veterans encounter when they find a job after transition. How did being a garrison commander really prepare you to be an entrepreneur?
Oh, it was perfect. I mean, first of all, you know, I grew up through the ranks. First, started out as chow hall manager. And I think we were talking about before the show, I worked for a chief master sergeant. I was a chief master sergeant's lieutenant. And then I rose up through the ranks to be a garrison commander. And as being a garrison commander, or we call it a base commander in the Air Force, we had dining facilities, hotels, restaurants, clubs, golf courses. All those things have to generate a revenue. So I've been an entrepreneur most of my adult life. And then all the other things that were not, revenue generating, logistics, HR, IT, cops. I've had cops work for me and signed a few warrants in my time. So all of those things, I think, help to understand both the military customer as well as operations and really just being focused on delivering value. And this in that case, we were delivering value to the troops and their families. In entrepreneurship, you deliver value to your customers.
Yeah. You know, the Army is a little bit different. We call them base support, ASGs. I think probably still call them the same thing. But that garrison commander, I mean, really, those are the ones that really make things happen on the installation and also connect with the community and make sure their relationship and stuff is going in the right direction. So I could see how that would really set you in a good position as far as retirement and really opening up your own company and doing a lot of different things. Why do you think veterans find it so hard to start their own business when they get out of the service?
Wow. Well, first of all, we've been told what to do, right? Yeah. Most of our lives. Yeah. There's been, processes and systems in place. And there's a lot of information. And I think, in our military service, there's a lot of information, but it's very categorized and organized for us in the form of tech orders and regulations and those kinds of things. And, what I tell veterans going into business is, yeah, there's a checklist. You can go to SBA website and they'll tell you to get your, you know, EIN, which is your social security number for your business, and or your tax ID for your business, and your DUNS number, which is like your social security number, and do all these other things. But after that's done, you have to create your own regulation processes, systems, and determine what is going to be my system of generating revenue. What product, what service am I going to deliver? And sometimes that's hard. I had a conversation with somebody earlier last week that I said, one veteran said, veterans can do anything. And I said, I believe that. And this other lady who was the HR recruiter said, that's the problem. I don't believe veterans can do anything. And I said, they can. And we're smart enough to know what we can't. And when we can't do it, we know how to find a good wingman, a good, a fellow military member who can do it. So I think that's key in business, is not only learning the information, but not doing it alone and finding fellow veterans who are stronger in the areas where we're weak, and do business together. They do the part you're weak at, and you do the part you're strong at.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny you say that, because when I got out of the service, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And, of course, a lot of people come after me to hire me to do different jobs. And what happened was I worked for somebody for about 8 months. And not that I disliked it, but I really hated it because I wasn't in charge. And so I said to myself, well, you know, let me figure it out. So I started doing consulting work, and I had about 8 clients, I think it was. And I loved it. You know, I was really sort of making financially, I was really pretty stable, until I had to pay taxes at the end of the year after 6 months. And, you know, so that hurt me a little bit. But I found real quickly that just what you just said, military veterans can do anything. All you got to do is say, hey, I want this accomplished, and they'll get it done. And the other thing I think is interesting about veterans is that, you know, I tell people I went into the Army at 18 or 17 years old, really, but went to war at 18 years old. And I went from 18 to 55 in war. So I grew up a great deal. So I think a lot of veterans, based on their age, even though if they're 24 or 25, they're probably really 45, you know.
That is so true.
Yeah, they grow up really
so
quickly.
True. I'd like to add on to
Yeah,
that,
go ahead.
Major,
yeah.
I think that's really a key point, right? And this is something I told a group of women veterans I was talking to about entrepreneurship. I said, you know, when you deploy or serve with someone, 1 year is equal to 1 to 5 years,
yeah.
Right? Or even 10 if it's in a really combat intensive environment.
Yeah.
And I don't care how much time goes by, it can be years, 10, 15 years. You can find them on social media and pick up where you left off. And what I believe, Sergeant Major, is that veterans are not using their network, right?
Yeah.
People who are already have been out there, transitioned well, or doing something they need, you know, they want to do, or that have some skill they need help with, they're not asking because they figure, well, I haven't talked to them in a long time. And my thing is, call them.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised and be honored. I truly mean honored to help you navigate this road called entrepreneurship and find your special niche where, you know, you can bring you and your family some legacy wealth. So I encourage folks, you know, because people do business with who they know, like, and trust, and what better way, man, you know other veterans, we trust them, we have similar values. And so I encourage folks to build their network and don't feel like I've got to be out here shaking hands with strangers. Look at who you know.
Well, you have a special relationship. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the Army, Air Force. Now, we may give each other a little bit of heat every once in a while. But the answer is, and you just said it, if I haven't talked to you in 20 years and I picked the phone up and asked you for something, you got it. Because your brothers and sisters in arm, and you're going to help each other out.
Yes.
And that's a very special relationship. Does uncertainty have a lot to do with it? You know, when you start a business, when you get out of the service, I'm just uncertain about your qualifications, I guess.
Yeah. I think uncertainty about, I can do so many things, right? But what should I do?
Yeah.
And I tell people, pick that sweet spot, that thing. And some of us just do things naturally, and And I kind of went through this when I was in business for myself before, you know, coming into my government job. We just do things, but we don't really know how special it is. Well, the thing is, ask the people around you. If you needed me for something, what do you think I'm really good at? And they will tell you. And then take that, because, you know, one of the things I love to tell transitioning military members, that thing you're fussing about, you know, the boss won't listen to you, you know the right way to do it, that is your business, because you already know the solution. Instead of, you know, banging your head against the wall, write it down and have that be, that's the beginning of your business plan of the product, the service, or the solution you're going to provide to the market. So it, the uncertainty is around not thinking that I got to do everything or I'm going to miss everybody. No, if you don't niche down and identify exactly what you do, people know what they're going to get when they get you.
Yeah.
People know when they get me, they're going to get solutions.
Yeah.
They're going to get relationships, right? They're going to get excellence and they're going to get a heart of service.
Yeah.
Those things people know, and it may be operational, it may be retail, it may be entrepreneurship, but people need to know what they're going to get. And if you're over here doing IT and then you're doing childcare and beer and all these different people's minds go, well, who are you? What are you about? So it's very important to just pick one thing, and then that one thing will grow into other things.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a game of copy, rinse, and repeat. You know, when you were in school or when you were taking your ASVAB and other tests for promotion, you get in trouble for copying. Well, in entrepreneurship, you get rewarded for copying. So I encourage people, you know, go look at what other people are doing and rinse and repeat. And you'd be surprised. Everybody's got an ego. You call them and you say, hey, can I just spend 15, 20 minutes with you? And would you tell me your journey? What would you do differently if you were me? And I'll tell you, 80% of the people say yes, Sergeant Major.
Yeah.
They're happy to help, whether they're a veteran or not. And when they're not a veteran, oh my God, they're honored to help a veteran.
What,
right?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because I always thought my job as a leader at any level I worked at in the military was to make the people behind me or that I was working for better. Whether or not it was a commander, I want him to be successful. And if it was somebody that was behind me that I was working with that was a junior NCO or junior soldier, I wanted to make sure they're the best that they could be. And so part of that is teaching, coaching, mentoring those people that you're working with. And I love doing that. And I love, in fact, I try to do it just as much as I can now, just as a retiree. I mean, it's if people are successful, you win. Everybody wins, you know, and so it's good.
That is so true.
The other thing I think is important too is again, they have to trust you, and they have to believe in you, and they got to understand that you know, you're not doing something to make you look better. You know, I tell people all the time, I'm too old for anything like that. I want to help people. I want to make sure people do the best they can. And if I can help you a little bit or coach you and teach you a little bit, you know, I'm going to do all I can to help you. We hear the expression, I've never heard this before, gig economy, a lot of these days. And yes. What exactly does that mean? I mean, I don't know what it means. What's that mean?
Well, gig economy means, you know, and I think it's not a bad model. It's not for everybody. You kind of spoke about it, whether you know it or not, Sergeant Major, when you were out doing consulting with all those different clients. That was a gig economy. You were a solopreneur, bringing your service, your intellect, your leadership expertise to market, right? But like you said, the key point, and I did this myself, so the whole thing of having to pay taxes at the end was triggering to me, Sergeant Major, because I had the very same experience. But the gig economy is where you take your unique skills and you bring it to the economy, and you can do that mostly as consultants or very key technical kinds of, you know, might be cybersecurity and testing different systems. But it's a very specific service that you're bringing to market. And I will tell you, some of the most successful veteran-owned businesses have started out with this, they're calling it gig economy, but it's really being a solopreneur or 1099. I tell troops today, don't, you know, go find a job, interview, And when they say they want to hire you, say, no, I want you to hire my business. Most of them don't need the medical because they can get it through TRICARE or VA. Yeah. You then get with an attorney and a lawyer and you get your business set up. You have your taxes taken out. And so you then negotiate. Instead of a salary, you negotiate, I'm going to come into work 2 to 3 days a week. I'm going to provide you with these 3 or 4 deliverables on this frequency with this level of excellence or standard, because what that does then is allows you to do that work. And then 2 to 3, or if you count the entire 7 days a week, it allows you other days to go find other business.
Yeah.
Now, if you were an employee, what would happen is, if there was a problem that was not in your job description or work that needed to be done, your boss would say, I want you to do this, and you would do it. If you were a business, you would say, no, I can't do that, but I'm happy to modify the contract and add that new need to the contract, and it will cost you this, and I need to hire 2 more people to do that work. And I would tell you, the most successful veteran-owned businesses, that's how they started. And then they grew enough people to get out of working in the business as an employee to working on the business.
Yeah.
So that is it's a great model, especially in this gig economy. But you know, I want to foot stomp what you said, get your taxes in order so that you're not hit with that huge bill. Make sure that you include taxes, other travel expenses, other things that you might need as a business to support that company, because it you have to remember, if you don't include the contract and they want you to travel, then you're going to have to take that out of pocket. So, you know, just talk to some people who have done it before, but it's a great model. It gives you the freedom that I think we all seek in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, it's really funny you say that, because I know when I got out, I asked a few people about doing consulting work. I didn't know how much you'd even charge anybody for consulting work. And now I have, senior general officers that will contact me and say, hey, Sergeant Major. I said, why don't you call a general officer? They said, well, Sergeant Major, I would, but I know you know the deal here, so how about give me a little? And so I'll tell them what they should charge, what I recommend, Dan. And you said something a minute ago. When I did consulting work, all expenses, everything I did, as soon as I left my house, this fee was my consulting fee. So all of those things have to be included in that. But the biggest one I had was the taxes part of it. The other thing I'll tell you is I'm a small business owner. In fact, at one point I owned, I owned 3 companies, or I had ownership of 3 Wow. companies. But now I have 2 companies. One of them is going to disband here. It's disbanded as we speak. So I have 1 company. But all of them are retired sergeant majors. We have 1 first Mm-hmm. sergeant in there. But the number one person in my company, though, is the accountant. Which is a little Korean lady that just keeps us all straight. So I enjoy that.
Gotta have it. Absolutely. And I know you take good care of her because she takes good care of you.
Oh, Lord have mercy, I take care of her. In fact, she's my neighbor. She lives across the street. In your work, you talk a lot about intellectual capital, depth of knowledge, and how to be a winner. Can you tell me what that means?
Well, you know, it hurts my heart, Sergeant Major, when we veterans leave the military with this huge depth and width of intellectual capital. And I did a LinkedIn post a couple of weeks ago, and what it said was the gold, the absolute pure gold, hiring a veteran as a strategic hire or on a corporate board is our diversity of winning.
Yeah.
We haven't won one way. We've won in multiple ways at different levels.
Yeah.
And that is the pure gold. And it's pure gold that I don't think the world has recognized yet, that that's what you get when you get in E7, E8, E9, you get an O5, O6, or a GO. And even at some lower levels, because we have very technically smart folks now, but what you get is you get a lot of intellectual capital.
Yeah.
And we're going and giving it to corporations in the form of employment, and they're you know, stakeholders are winning boats and planes and vacations when we could be taking that intellectual capital and using it as a consultant and making money to increase our family's wealth, because you and I both know the military is a great way of life, but it, you're not getting rich right immediately, unless you get great investing along the way. So that's why I talk about, because anybody can be, anybody in the military can either tell their story and make money. They can teach others how to develop systems, because we're very system and process oriented. We can help with leadership. Oh my God, we've had, you know, and overcome so many leadership challenges. So, you know, when I talk about intellectual capital, I think there's an opportunity for anyone, even if they do have employment, to have a business on the side, if nothing more than to leverage some of the other skills that may not be maximized in employment. Yeah. You know, sometimes you can get boxed in and you don't really get a chance to use it all.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I talk about, though, is make sure you have a balance. You know, a lot of the boards that I sit on, they have senior general officers, and they may only have one or two enlisted guys. And I said, well, you know, 86% of the forces, or 82%, 82% of the forces enlisted, and the rest are officer or warrant officers. And so to have a balance between enlisted and officer, I think, is really critical. The other thing, again, I think I said it already,
and
though.
Can I throw in women? There's not a lot of women.
No, that's right. Women, absolutely. Well, and really, I don't know. I tell people all the time, I'm not sure how I started. Maybe I think I was ahead of my time or something. But I was looking at diversity when I was a first sergeant, and when I was a battalion sergeant major, and I used to tell people, when I put a color guard out, if I didn't have something that represented that unit, you know, whether or not it was white, brown, male or female, I always said, it has to be a mixture, you know, of everybody. And I did that as a division, every level I ever worked in the Army. And when people come out and start talking about diversity, I said, well, geez, I've been doing diversity all my life.
I've been doing all that things there.
But the other thing about that I think is really important is I don't know if you know Al McMichael and Vince Patton. We had them on last year on a show we did about Martin Luther King. And I told them, I said, not once in my life when I was in combat did I look to the left and the right and care what any color anybody was. It was about, we're all family, we all work together. And that's, you know, one day I wish our country would look the same way. And I think I think we're going in the right direction. But I think that's really important. Yeah.
I agree, Sergeant Major. I think, you know, one of the things I've always said is excellence is colorblind.
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
When you're excellent, nobody stops to say, oh my God, that was a black girl that did that.
You know, yeah, absolutely.
They're just happy. Well, yeah, we're just happy that the mission got done, right? That the people were taken care of or the problem was solved. And I think sometimes, you know, you're talking to a gal where, you know, I grew up and my dad was one of the first Black Army Corps of Engineers officers. So when I arrived at his first duty station, I was the only Black officer's kid most of my formative, you know, years, all the way up until I was a senior in high school.
Yeah.
So, you know, I believe what you're saying is true. And I will tell you, most of my mentors did not look like
me
until I got to be in my most senior rank.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think if you're excellent, you do well, your heart is right, you know, and you treat people right. Most people, I think the military sets the tone for diversity, actually. We'll treat you right, and I mean, I know there's exceptions to the rule, but for most part, I you're spot on.
I think everybody should come into the military. I know we'll never do that. I wish it was a draft and made everybody come into the military,
because
it really makes sense. Did you ever meet General Powell?
I did. He's an amazing.
I knew General Powell when I was a sergeant first class or first sergeant in the Army. And so, you know, as a battalion, a brigade. So I knew him from a number of years. And I'll never forget this story. He told me a story one time. He said, he was at West Point. I guess, I don't know what level he was at there. But he was West Point. I guess he was a senior getting ready to graduate. And he was selected as a commander. And this one guy that come down, he says, hey, look, He says, you know, I'm upset. I'm mad as hell. And I said, and he said, well, what's wrong? He said, well, they say they selected you because you was a minority to be a commander. And he said, and the guy that was with him said, hey, let's go down and tell him why. And he said, which I think was wonderful, he says, no, I'm not going to tell him why. I'm going to show him. And I think that's what you have to do in life is you have to show people about, we're getting off the subject here a little bit, but
but
you have to show people and look for the good in people. And I think that's certainly what I've always tried to do, and I'm sure you have too. So, well.
No, I think there's a B.O. Davis, because I'm a Tuskegee Institute grad.
Yeah.
You know, said something, there was a riot at Travis Air Force Base, and, you know, B.O. Davis was our first, you know, general officer, black general officer in the Air Force. He said, when he came out to calm the troops, because he was the wing commander, he said, I might be your color, but I'm not your kind. And I said, I might be your kind, but not your color also. So I added on to it, because really what that is talking about is the value of the person.
Yep.
The heart of the person can be the same kind, and they may not be the same color.
Yeah.
And we can also be the same color, but our values are not the same.
Well, it all goes...
I really trust the heart.
Yeah, yeah. It all goes back to what we said before. It's about trust. And people know if you're real. Yeah. This is an old saying, real or Memorex. I don't know if you remember that night. But they know if you're real or Memorex, and you really, they understand if you care. So I hold that thought. We're talking with the Women Veteran Business Champion and advocate, Colonel Retired Michelle Gardner Entz, U.S. Air Force, and you're watching Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major in the Army. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, and I know that you are, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Now, I'm not going to say ma'am, I'm going to say Miss G.I. During this, okay. I know that you love that. So during this segment, I want to explore the work you're doing with women veterans. As you know, women are, you know, the fastest growing segment of veteran population in this country, which means there are going to be more women veterans looking for opportunities once they really transition out of the service. How are we doing to address that issue? I mean, to address the issue that's going to be facing us right now, I guess.
Yeah. So it shows a couple of, challenges. About 30,000 women are leaving the military every year. So more women are joining.
Yeah.
But also more women are leaving, and they're leaving for family balance, for caretaker reasons, for relationship reasons. You know, it's really hard, to ask a guy to follow you around. It's becoming more accepted, but it's still not. And having said all of those things, more women are going into STEM, right? But the problem is, when they come out of the military, they don't go into entrepreneurship. They're going into employment. And most of the opportunities for women in the federal government, or for any veteran person in the federal government, is IT is number one, construction, professional services, which is like consulting, logistics, and then, there's some, supplies and equipment and those kinds of things. There's about 10 areas where the government spends most of its money. But, we want to make women aware that entrepreneurship is a great option and gives them the flexibility. It gives them the opportunity to determine what success looks like as an entrepreneur. That's 200,000, it's 2 million, it's 2 billion or 2 trillion. It's limited by the resilience, the leadership, and the business model of the woman veteran. And so, I've been on a mission to tell people that women veterans are a top secret weapon, a national treasure. And the reason I say a national treasure, because imagine, I told somebody, when you come in to serve, most women come in for education and travel.
Yeah.
But you don't realize that while we want and we love to serve, our bodies were not meant to do so.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of neck and back injuries from the rucksack, the psychological injuries. There's military sexual trauma. There's a lot of things that women balance, and then they're asked to leave children, or their infertility are impacted and they can't have children. So all of those things, though, despite those, they overcome those, they stay and they serve with distinction. Yet, we talked about a little bit earlier, they're not on corporate boards, they're not being hired at senior level, positions. And so this is an opportunity for the world to realize that if you get a woman veteran entrepreneur, either as a teaming partner, or you hire them as a company, or even as an employee, or even in a leadership position, you're going to get someone that's going to bring some very unique skills to the team. And, President Obama said it a couple of years ago, you want to make a company or organization soar, hire a woman. And I believe that. I'm not
male bashing. I'm just saying. Well, no, I can take it. Hey, look here. I you made me think of so many things. I'm going to tell you two things real quick here. One is that I sit on the board with TRADOC that says, should women be in combat arms? And wow. And I sit on that board and I went in there and I'm sitting down. And at the time, there's a bunch of general officers and stuff. And I've worked with them. And I'll tell you about a woman I worked with in a minute. But I said, hey, look, it's real simple for me. There's standards in the military. If a male or a female meets that standard, they can go on that particular MOS. That's it. Give them the opportunity. And I said, we're going to spend millions of dollars testing everybody to see whatever, and we're going to come to the same result. So let's just get to it. Well, I'm not sure they listened to me. The second thing is, though, I had she's passed away, but she's one of the finest people I ever worked with in my life. Her name was Mary Sutherland. And she was the DISCOM Sergeant Major when I was a Division Sergeant Major. So she moved, I was already a division. She moved into that senior position. And she came over and had an office call with me. And I looked at her and says, I said, I've never worked with a female at that level. It was always men. And she says, yeah. I said to her, I says, well, Sergeant Major, I said, how do you want me to treat you? And she looked me right in the eye and says, just like everybody else. I said, okay. So we was in a parade field one time and she had told me that. And she come up and she said, Sergeant Major, remember, treat me like everybody else. And then I chewed her butt about something and sort of sent her back. But she was a...
But she appreciated that. Well, and you'd be surprised. When people were tough on me and didn't hold back, it made me better. And I appreciate it. And I think most people, if they want to succeed and be the best they can do, women appreciate that.
Well, you got to be honest and fair, and you just can't be honest and fair for a male or for it's for everybody. Yes. My thought in the military, and even in life, I treat everybody the same. If I'm upset at you or bothered by you, I'll correct it and go on and forget about it. But you treat everybody the same. And so, in fact, here's one last, you make me think of something. I had a young sergeant one time. She works in the Pentagon now. She came to me and she says, Sergeant Major, I got a question. I said, why is that? Well, how come when I fill out the form or application, they got to say white, black, whatever. I said, well, what's wrong with that? She says, why can't I just say I'm an American? And she's really right. Why did we distinguish between one and another? I'm an American, period. Let it go. So hold that thought. We're gonna be right back. We got a lot more to talk about. And if you're not having a good time, something's wrong about it. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at navyfederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at purdueglobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
We Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with the Women Veteran Business Champion and advocate, Colonel Retired Michelle Gardner-Ince, U.S. Air Force. And I want all of our veterans to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover. I always tell people it's not my show, it's our show. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll actually reach back out to you. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. We're heading into our final segment with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed it just as much as I have. I just have a couple more questions. I say a couple more questions. I'm sure I'm going to have more questions. We were discussing earlier, navigating the waters of entrepreneurship can be, you know, frightening and challenging for both men and women veterans. What can they put in their toolbox to help them navigate that, really that new frontier?
Well, I think it comes down to two things. You know, I meet a lot of veterans, women who also say, hey, I just want to get a government contract. I just want to get a government contract. And it really is about focus. It is about focus, and it's about market research, and it's about your business model, right? So first, I'm going to say focus. Focus your value. And I want to share the Uncle Sam method. S stands for solve a problem. A stands for address an issue. M stands for meet a need. So Uncle Sam gave you a lot of stuff in your rucksack, but you've got to focus it on what problem are you solving, what need are you meeting, and what issues are you addressing? That's the bottom line. So that's the Uncle Sam method. So focus. Second thing is market research. Market research is around you everywhere. If a government agency's in the newspaper, there's an opportunity for you to solve that problem. An IG report, GAO report, Spin USA, spending will tell you where the government's spending their money, strategic plan. All of those things are issues that need you to solve them. And when you're talking to people, just don't talk to them about what they're doing. Talk to them about the problems they're having so that you have a better insight. And then, you know, last but not least, there are plenty of opportunities out there for you to bring your product or service to market. But your business model, your revenue model is important. A lot of us know how to solve things, but we don't know how to sell and make money.
Yeah.
And so your business model is about selling, right? And I talked to a guy last night on my podcast, my kind of call-in show on LinkedIn, and he said, we sell, you know, masks and gloves, and now people aren't buying that anymore. And I said, well, what's your other business model? He says, oh, we don't have one. And I said, why not? I said, because your business model is that the manufacturer sells it to you, you mark it up, and you sell it to the government. I said, with inflation, if the manufacturer increases their price and the government decides they don't want to pay any more, your profit margin now has gone down, smaller. So you need to find another business model. And I said, have you joined, professional organizations that do sanitation? What kind of certifications? There's certifications for sanitation and the air quality and all kinds of things that deal with cleanliness. I said, oh, have you looked at city, state, right, local, universities all buy these things? And then I told him, you must benchmark. Look at companies who are successfully doing something similar to you. What organizations are they in? Join, start to hear the culture, hear the conversation. How are things done? Ask people questions. All of those things are not only market research, but will help you refine your business model. And then I said, you may want to go into cleaning, but if you go into cleaning, do you want to go into large business cleaning, airport cleaning? So it's very important to niche down and identify your revenue model, and that revenue model needs to have profit in it. If you're not making money, it's just a hobby. And Kim, the last thing I'm going to say, Sergeant Major, I'm begging veterans to stop saying, well, I have my retirement, I have my VA disability, I don't need to make money, I just want to help people. Please, do it for your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, even if you don't think you need the money. Do it for them and leave a great legacy and make some money.
Yeah, you know, no, I agree 100%. I told people when I got out of the service, you know, I start doing things, and again, I very quickly I figured out that you know, they'll pay you for your service, and you know, so I thought that was good. The other thing is about opening a company. I think if you want to open a company or you're serious about it, if you can start it two years out before you get out of the service, or a year out before you get out of the service, I think that's good. I think the other thing is find a mentor, find somebody that's already running a company that can cut down on some of the issues that you have, you know, some things they messed up on, so you don't have to do the same things that'll help you go on. I mean, I tell people all the time, I've just been very fortunate in my life, but I started a company only for one reason, is because I was making so much money in consulting work, not saying I'm making a lot, but I paid a lot in taxes, so I said, how do I write that off? And so I said, well, I'll do a company. And then I had a friend come to me and said, look, I need your help with something. Would you do this? Sure, and I ended up hiring like six people, I think, for the job. And then another guy came, or gal came, or whatever. But they came to me and sort of said, you know, help me out. And the main reason why is because they had the trust and confidence and knew that I wasn't going to quit on the job and I was going to do it.
Yes.
Hey, I know one resource is your weekly LinkedIn Live show that you do.
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So, you know, I always start with the end in mind. And so in January 2019, I decided I was going to embark on LinkedIn, you know, kind of just start putting myself out there. And I was planning to go into business for myself. I've always had a company, but it was kind of dormant. And so I said, I want to be a LinkedIn influencer. I didn't really know what that meant. But it means doing a lot of work on social media.
Yeah,
I can tell you that. Yeah. And so in November of 2021, they named me a LinkedIn influencer. And as part of that, I got to beta test the audio feature of LinkedIn. And that's where it's like a call-in talk show is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
People can join, raise their hand, ask questions, or they can just sit while they're, you know, working out or cooking and just listen to it. But I decided I wanted to use that opportunity to help veterans and underserved communities, that's minority, women, veterans, disabled, companies, learn more about this thing, government contracting. And so what I've done is I've gathered a group of experts that I think give us a 360 degree view on government contracting. We have a retired contracting officer. We have a SCORE mentor. And, you know, if you don't know about SCORE, go to SCORE.org. You can get you a business mentor. We've got a business advisor who does business like development. We've got a coach who's a business coach. And we have what we call the doctor. He's a PhD guy, former Air Force guy. But he is in the 8A program. Young guy, less than 50, that's really making a lot of money, has figured it out. And so when people come in, they get to just be vulnerable. It's not recorded. If you miss it, you miss it. Because I wanted Sergeant Major to provide a safe space where people could say, I don't understand. I don't get it. I'm struggling. Can you help me? And it is just a great environment. And people connect with one another, support one another. No sales allowed. This is just help. Veterans, women, minorities, small businesses succeed on the journey as a community.
Well, it's all about that relationship. Once you get a group of people together and once they start talking, they'll find out where they fit in that conversation. You know, so it's all about, you know, trusting and having a good relationship and seeing what you can do as a team. The other thing I think is pretty interesting too, if you find another company that you can team with, you know, if you're going to go after contracts, you know, somebody that has maybe qualifications that you may not have, a team with them so you can get a contract, because you always want to be growing and doing those kind of things. So, well,
but what we talk about in there, Sergeant Major, I want to say the teaming thing, you know, we have to be careful, right? Because they're predators. And that's exactly what I'm going to call them, because these set-asides, the veteran, the woman, the minority set-asides, minimize competition, right, for these huge contracts. And they're predators who will come and you know, I've had people say, hey, I'll pay you $250,000. You know, we'll do all the work. Don't worry about it. We'll handle everything. And they're making $2 million, but they're giving you $250,000.
Yeah, no.
And so we have to be careful. I tell my ladies, stay around, you know, make it a value-based decision when you're going to team with people. And if it looks too good to be true, Sergeant Major, it probably is.
Well, the other thing is important, too, is make sure you have that in the contract. If I'm going to team with you, you're going to give me 25% or 10% or whatever.
Yes.
If they're going to have 50 people, I'm going to get 10 people. So you got to have it in the contract when you do that. Yeah, I went through the same thing. I won't tell you who with, but I lost I think it was a $20 million contract one time that I don't know if you ever heard of Hunt, Eat, Kill contract. I won't tell you what company it was.
But I found
a contract in the company I was working with. Yeah, I gave it to that particular organization, and they gave the contract to somebody else. Well, the owner of that organization ended up suing those guys. I'm not sure whatever happened, but I'm with you. You got to do your due diligence. But the thing about it, you got to find somebody that you believe in, that you trust. And there's a lot of them out there. But the one thing about it, I a lot of people I teamed up is people I've known for years, and I had a lot of I trusted them, and they trusted me, and it wasn't so hard, but. In fact, one of the ones I teamed up was my old battalion commander that I did some stuff with. So it's getting a lot of good. And we talk. Well, we don't talk as often as we used to, but at least a couple times a year we're talking to see how each other. Hey, first of all, let me say it was a great discussion. I enjoyed it a great deal. And thank you for what you're doing. It's important work. Keep up the good job. And if we can help you, certainly let us know in any way we can. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to share with the audience?
Yes, I will say that there's a lot of resources out there, right? And, you know, don't try to drink the whole ocean at one time. Just eat what you need right now. So if you're just at the beginning, then you want to focus on getting your foundation. You know, we call it the bank, the attorney, the insurance, and the tax folks, the accountant folks. You want to get all those lined up, so that when you start running, you can go fast. Relationships.
Yeah.
Build them before you need. Build a bridge before you need it. It's relationally and physically impossible to build bridge and run over it at the same time. People try to do it. If you just build bridges, help people when it's time, they'll remember your name when opportunity is in the room. And that's the last thing I want to say is, as veterans, let's share. If that opportunity is not for you, don't go, oh no, I don't do that. No, think about who does do that, that you know. Be the person that remembers your teammate, your shipmate, your fellow comrade when opportunity is in the room, because that's how we all grow and all boats rise together. And let's get after this fun thing called entrepreneurship, because there's so much freedom and opportunity in it.
You know,
thank you so much.
It's really funny you say that, because I've had a few friends over the years that call me and says, hey, look, I may not be able to do this, but this is something I want to share with you, and give me a contract to help me out. So, again, thank you so much what you're doing, and keep up the great work. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And follow me on LinkedIn. Really appreciate
it. Well, you got to follow me too, and you got to subscribe to our show. You got to get it. Hey, thanks a lot there. Thanks to Michelle Garnerite for being with us today. And I'm Jack Attoli, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for watching today. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say, I hope it's a good review, but if it's a bad one, I can take that too. You can also visit our nonprofit partners there, who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. Also visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs that are available. Please know we want to assist you any way we can. Please follow me on all my personal social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Rumble. And if you enjoyed the discussion, and I know you have, with Michelle, Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Michelle Gardner-Entz for joining us. It was just great having her on the show. And at this part of the show, it's always always my final thoughts. And I'm really going to think about a couple of things. Share, mentor, and develop. Remember, we're all part of a family. We all need to make sure that we help each other. You know, there's about 17 million veterans out there, and we're all part, again, part of a family. And we need to make sure that we're successful. If we want to open up a company, we want to run something, we want to have a successful life, never think that you're by yourself. We're all together, and we're all going to be successful together, just like Michelle. You know, God bless you, and just keep up the good work. Again, thanks for watching, and thanks to Cloudcast Media, New Mind Studios, and of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.